Great. Well, hopefully you've had a chance to discuss through some of those questions. And well, now we're going to look at that passage a bit more. So, let me pray before I start. Father God, thank you for your word, the Bible. Thank you that you speak to us through it. And we pray that as you speak, you would help us to listen and to believe what you tell us and to obey it and to love your word too. And we pray this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Well, I wonder, do you sometimes feel lonely being a Christian? Are you the only Christian in the place where you work? Or the only Christian at school? Or in the home? Do you feel as if you're the only Christian? And if so, are you tempted sometimes to give up? Do you ever say to yourself, everyone else seems to get on just fine without being a Christian, so maybe I'll stop going to church. Maybe I'll stop reading my Bible. Maybe I'll stop praying. Everybody else seems to get on just fine. Well, if you feel like that, then here's the good news. You're not alone. 2,000 years ago, there were some Christians who felt like they wanted to give up being Christians. They felt like they wanted to go back and live like everybody else around them. But then one day, they got a letter from God. The letter in our Bible is called Hebrews. And the letter contains strong encouragements to them not to give up on Jesus, but to keep trusting in him. To be men and women and children of faith. There is encouragement to persevere and to keep going. Just as perseverance is vital for the marathon runner, perseverance is vital for the Christian. And one of the ways this letter encourages us to keep going is by reminding us of the heroes of the faith. And I know that over the last 2 weeks, you've looked at two of those heroes, at Abel and Enoch. Well, tonight, we're looking at Noah. The story of Noah's Ark is a classic children's story, isn't it? Mr. and Mrs. Noah and their floating zoo, smiling under a pretty rainbow. It's a classic children's story. But tonight, we need to pull it out of that category, because it's much more than a children's story. In fact, if this story were made into a film today, I think it would probably be Certificate 18. The story of Noah, you see, describes a tragic disaster. It makes the Boxing Day tsunami look like a puddle. There is death everywhere. Men, women, children, the sick, the elderly, all drowning. It really is shocking. And so it's not just a Sunday school story. It has lessons to teach us too. And so the writer of the Hebrews tells us to remember Noah. And that's our first point. Remember Noah. He shows us real faith in practice. Real faith in practice. Faith. What is faith? Well, I know that we've looked at it already this evening, but it will do us no harm to look at that definition again. So it's there in verse 1 of chapter 11. Verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Being sure of what we hope for. So faith isn't merely wishful thinking. It's not a leap in the dark. Faith is being sure and certain of the future. And so taking the right action in the present. And that's what Noah shows, faith. And we're going to look at his faith in two parts. So part A, Noah believed God's warning of judgment. Look at verse 7, will you? By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. God warned Noah of his coming judgment, and Noah believed God. Back in Genesis, we can see what God's warning was. God saw that the people's hearts were full of evil all the time. And so God said to Noah, he said, I am going to bring floodwaters on all the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has the breath of life in it. Everything on earth will perish. Warning. A flood that will bring total destruction. God took no pleasure in this day. His heart was full of pain. He was grieved. But he was also angry. And he was right to be. You know, sometimes in our homes, somebody is angry and they have no good reason to be angry. But at other times, someone is angry and they're right to be angry. Well, God was right to be angry because of the wickedness in the world. And so God warned Noah about the flood. It's a warning of complete disaster, complete destruction. And it's on an unprecedented scale. A flood to destroy all living things. Nothing like this had ever been seen before, and nothing would ever be seen like it again. It seems crazy, impossible. I mean, Noah's in the middle of a desert, and God says there's going to be a flood. But God tells Noah this is what he's going to do. He's going to flood the whole world and destroy it. And Noah believes God's warning. Noah has faith. He is certain of what he does not see. Although he can't see a flood happening, he's certain that God will do as he says. Noah believed God when he warned that he would judge. At the beginning of last week, we had flood warnings here in the UK. A powerful storm came sweeping across the country, bringing with it huge winds and creating massive waves. And when the flood warning came, people believed it. We've seen floods in the past few years in this country, and so people see it as a very real threat. The flood warning came, and people believed it. And likewise with Noah, when God's flood warning came, he believed it. The difference is, though, that Noah had never seen a flood like this before. He wasn't believing because of past experience. He was believing because it was God's word. It was God's warning. And so as we look at Noah, we see that the life of faith begins with hearing God and his word. God speaks and promises that he's going to do something, and faith is trusting that God will do as he says. Trusting that God is good enough and smart enough and strong enough to do it. The life of faith starts with God and hearing his word. And so the first part of Noah's faith was that he believed God's warning of judgment. And now the second part, part B, Noah obeyed God's instruction for mercy. Noah obeyed God's instruction for mercy. Look again at verse 7, if you will. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. God provided one place to be safe from the flood. Back in Genesis chapter 6, as we were reading, God commanded Noah. He said, make yourself an ark. God promises that mercy can be found in this one place, in the ark. And so having believed God's warning, Noah takes urgent action in obedience to God's promise of mercy. Noah obeys God and he builds the ark. He does just as he's commanded. In fact, we're told that four times in Genesis, in close succession, four times, Noah did everything just as God commanded him. It says Noah did all the Lord commanded him. So real faith means obedience to God's word. And that's what Noah does. He obeys God by building the biggest boat the world had ever seen. Last year, there was a man down near where I live in London, and he started to build a boat in his front garden. People used to drive past on the main road and look in fascination at what was going on. People used to go past and see the progress that he was making with his boats. And that's how it would have started with Noah. Friends and family fascinated at what he was doing. But then they ask why he's building a boat. A boat in the desert. And Noah warns them of the terrible flood that's coming. Well, soon, Noah is the talk of the town. Some people think he's gone crazy. I mean, a flood in the desert? Noah looks absurd building his boat. And so they start to mock him. Others, they label him as a scaremonger. Someone who frightens the children with all his talk of God's judgment. He's a fanatic. Well, whatever they think of Noah, they think that God's warning of judgment is absolute rubbish. God would never destroy his own creation, they say. God is loving. And so they ignore his message and they carry on just as before. Eating, drinking, getting married. But Noah, on the other hand, his whole life has changed. He refuses to listen to the world who deny God's judgment. And instead, he listens to God, believes God, and obeys his word. God promised there was one place to be safe. God promised mercy. And Noah obeys God's instruction for mercy. A couple of years ago, when I was on holiday in France, I went to visit the site of the Battle of Agincourt. It's a famous battle because against all the odds, the English trounced the French. The French were absolutely crushed. And just to make sure the army were defeated, the English went across the battlefield the next morning, killing off any survivors. They didn't show any mercy. Well, imagine if, towards the end of the battle, the English had offered the French mercy. Imagine if they had offered to leave the French alive so long as they surrendered. The offer of mercy is there, but the French do need to surrender. If they want to live, they can't carry on fighting as before. They need to respond to the promise of mercy with obedience. And that's how it is with Noah. He shows us that real faith requires action. And so as we look at Noah, we see that real faith means obedience to God's word. Obedience to God's instruction for mercy. Perhaps you're wondering now, what all this has got to do with us? I mean, God hasn't warned us of a flood that's coming on the world, has he? But in fact, the Bible does warn us that there is a judgment day coming. God does warn us. The judgment day is not coming in the form of a flood, but it's a final judgment when Jesus, God's judge, returns to earth. His judgment is coming on every single person. And it will be so much more worse than the flood. There will be great terror. People will cry out to the mountains to fall on them and hide them from God's judgment. For God will destroy all wickedness once for all. He will destroy everyone who rebels against him. Well, the question we need to be asking is, does God have a promise of mercy? Does God promise mercy? And this is the great news that the Bible gives. There is a place of safety. There is one place to find God's mercy. And it's not a boat. But God has made one place to be safe. Well, what is that place? It's the cross. At the cross, God takes my place as Jesus bears God's anger. Jesus takes God's judgment for me. The cross is where you and I can find safety, where you and I can find God's mercy. Remember Noah, God's judgment is coming. So will we believe God's warning of judgment? Will we be like Noah and believe? But there is also a great promise of mercy. Remember Noah, God's instruction for mercy. There is one place to be safe. God doesn't say go to the ark, but he says go to the cross. It's the only place to be safe. So will we obey God's instruction for mercy? Will we be like Noah and respond with urgent obedience? Will we put our trust, our faith in the cross before it's too late? Remember Noah. He shows us real faith in practice. I said earlier that Hebrews is here to encourage us. So how does remembering Noah encourage us? Well, if we flick over the page to the start of chapter 12, if we do that, I think we'll see how. Chapter 12 and verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, people like Noah, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marks out for us. Noah is a witness who encourages us to persevere in faith. And that's our second point. Copy Noah. He encourages us to persevere in faith. And he does it by witnessing to God's faithfulness. So now look at the second half of verse 7. Chapter 11, verse 7. By his faith, Noah condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. God is faithful to both his warning and his promise. And so there are two results of Noah's faith. Two results. First, the negative part, part A. Fake faith results in judgment. That's what verse 7 tells us. By his faith, Noah condemned the world. What does this mean? I think it means that by his obedience to God, Noah condemned the world's disobedience. So as Noah in obedience built the ark, he reminded the people around him of God's coming judgment. And the world looks on ignoring God's warning and acting in disobedience. And so Noah's faith, that is his belief in his obedience, it showed them up as being guilty. It showed them up as having fake faith. So they may have claimed to have faith in God, but it was fake. They didn't believe God's warning of judgment, and they didn't obey his instruction for mercy. And so when the flood came, there was no escape. They drowned, dead, countless bodies floating in the water. The result of their fake faith was God's judgment. God was faithful to his word. Think back to that Agincourt story, the battlefield. Mercy is offered to the survivors, but if they didn't surrender, then they're going to be slaughtered. If they don't believe the warning, if they don't obey the promise of mercy, they end up dead. Fake faith results in God's judgment. And the second part of Noah's, the second result of Noah's faith, the positive part, part B, real faith results in mercy. Again, verse 7. Noah became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. In other words, through his faith, Noah and his family were saved from the flood. Now, in fact, this is even more shocking than the rest of the world being destroyed. It's shocking because Noah should have been destroyed with them. Because Noah had done wicked things too. But God, in his mercy, rescued Noah. Why did God rescue Noah? Well, it's because of his faith. Noah believed and obeyed God. Righteousness means being right with God, and Noah was made an heir of righteousness. Today, we use the word heir most often in relation to the people who are heir to the throne. So we speak of Prince Charles being heir to the throne. In other words, he's our future king. He has loads of privileges now, loads of good things, but he's not king yet. He is heir to the throne. It's something he's waiting for and looking forward to. Well, Noah too is an heir. And he's an heir to something much greater than the throne. He's an heir of righteousness, being right with God. By God's grace, Noah was a righteous man while he lived. But he was still waiting for the full blessing of righteousness when he died. Faith means that we can know God's blessing in this life. But verse 7 reminds us that there is so much more to come. Something that Noah was waiting for and looking forward to. Jesus' return and the new creation. And so Noah persevered in faith. And today, Noah encourages us to persevere in faith. When we feel like we're the only Christian, at work, at school, at home, when we feel tempted to give up being a Christian, tempted to go back and live just like everybody else, when we feel tempted to stop going to church, stop reading our Bible, stop praying, well, in those moments, we need to remember Noah and copy him. We need to persevere in faith. Hebrews 11 says to us, copy Noah and put your faith in the faithful God. He will bring judgment on those with fake faith. He will also reward those with real faith. Copy Noah. He managed to live by faith, and so should we. He managed to persevere, and so should we. He kept on trusting God and persevered. And now that's what Noah encourages us to do. Persevere. It's a great encouragement. But what does it actually mean to persevere in faith? Well, the answer to finish is at the start of chapter 12. Chapter 12 and verse 2. Chapter 12, verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Persevering in faith means fixing our eyes on Jesus, the ultimate hero of the faith. He endured the cross. He persevered so that we can persevere. And so this week, when we find it hard being a Christian, when we think we want to give up, let's remember to look to Noah and then onto Jesus. And let's persevere in faith, knowing that God is faithful. Let's keep on trusting Jesus. Let me pray. Father God, thank you that you are a faithful God. Thank you that you do keep your word. I thank you that Noah found that to be true, that he believed and obeyed you. And we pray that this week that you would help us to keep persevering in faith. Please help us to remember Noah and the Lord Jesus. And please help us in those hard times when we feel like giving up, help us to keep going, to believe your word, and to obey you. We pray this for Jesus' glory. Amen. Amen.